You're listening to Ultima Thule, Ambience on 2MBS FM, your fine music station, where I'm speaking with Lisa Gerard from Dead Can Dance, who has just released a collaborative recording with Melbourne composer Peter Burke, who is also here with me in the studio. Welcome to the program, Lisa and Peter.
Thanks, George.
I'd like to begin by asking both of you what music is it that you're listening to at the moment? What's on high rotation on the CD player in the Gerard and Burke households?
I'm listening to a group called Alpha from England, who have been released on Massive Attack's sub-label they've set up on Virgin. It's a very very tranquil album, even though it has a lot of beats, and you could put it in the Massive Attack Portishead sort of category, but it's very interesting. The sounds on there are very subtle, it's very understated, so I'm enjoying that one a fair bit at the moment, and really just rediscovering a lot of old CDs, because I'm finding the electronic area at the moment is a little bit stale, so I'm going back to rediscover old things.
Lisa?
I tend to be stuck in a bit of a groove with Arvo Pärt, I'm afraid, and Schnittke I listen to quite a bit, and Bernard Herrmann. Who else? Bartok. I like the Russian composers, the darker ones, I'm afraid.
And what about the very obvious influences on your music from the Middle East and India and medieval music?
That's the thing, that, you know, I don't listen to a lot of Arabic music, but I grew up in East Paran in Melbourne, where there was a lot of Greek, Arabic, Iranian communities in that area, and sometimes I think that influenced it. But there's definitely a perfume about the music from the Middle East that I don't know, but I feel that we all are familiar with somehow. I don't know why, but...
Well, there was certainly a lot of cross-fertilization during the Middle Ages in the times of the Crusades and so forth, and that's obviously kind of, you know, filtered down the ages.
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting in some of the older sort of Gaelic Shanna singing and things that are very similar. Melodic structures and, you know, what is it? It's modal singing.
Just talking about your singing, one of the questions that I'm most frequently asked when I play music from Dead Can Dance or your own external efforts is, what is it that you're actually singing about? A lot of your music appears to be random vocalising.
No, it's not random. In fact, if I don't... find the centre of the work, I can't do it. It's not possible. So I have to unlock the piece before I can. If I improvise, it's easier to unlock with improvisation, but improvisation only lasts for a while, and then when you become to know the work, you must go further and unlock the psychology or the inner narrative of the work. Otherwise, I can't do that work. You know, I don't really understand fully why, but in the live performances, if I listen to live tapes of the live performances, it always amazes me how similar they are to the original recordings in the vowel shapes and phraseologies, etc. And yet there's no memory for those. For those things.
So they're unconsciously, formally constructed works.
They're in the consciousness somewhere. It's an understanding of the music that's, you know, that's based on reality. But they're just not the, you know, within the practical consciousness that we possess. I don't know, it's all a bit sounding a bit academic, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, it sounds great. That's the bottom line, I think.
It's not something that I've been able to analyse. You know, I have described the work as being heart yearnings. There are lots of descriptions of mantric singing, glossolalia, and, you know, development of or invention of languages, and languages of the heart, languages of the soul.
Do you listen a lot to Bulgarian ethnic music? And
I listened for a little while at the sort of the end of the 80s, and a little bit to the Bulgarian Voices when they came out. But No, not really. In fact, if you really knew my musical tastes, you'd wonder where the connection comes from. That's the truth.
Tell me about the creative relationship with yourself and Peter. How did that come about, and how did the Duality project actually evolve?
Lisa and I have been working on and off for about 6 years, beginning with some work I did on the Mirrorpool album. At that stage, Lisa had seen me performing with Eden. We had a little jam session one night with myself and Sean Bolley from Eden and Lisa, and I was playing some tabla. So it was primarily my percussive skills that Lisa was aware of at first. So I did a little bit of recording for the Mirrorpool, went on the Mirrorpool tour. On the tour, I volunteered for some keyboard parts that, you know, needed to be played. So it was a gradual process of understanding what potential there was between us. And it was after the Spirit Chaser tour that Lisa called me, invited me to her home studio. And because we both live in Victoria, it's convenient to work rather than having to travel, you know, to Ireland, say, which is the case with working with Dead Can Dance. So we didn't really come together to purposefully to write an album together. We came together to do some short interludes, which were going to form part of a larger work that Lisa was working on at the time. But once we started working, we found that it was a very gentle process and a very harmonious process without talking too much about what we were doing, and we really felt that our two visions merged and felt like there was one force behind the work. So we continued exploring for about a year, and it wasn't until maybe 9 months through the process that we realized we had this body of work, which, strangely enough, considering the way the work was constructed in a very spontaneous way, it all worked together as a whole. So we were as much surprised, we were very surprised by the outcome.
So, Lisa, can you tell me how your work outside Dead Can Dance then differs from your work inside? Is there a structural difference, a formative difference?
Yes. It's different with everyone you work with, and it's different when you work on your own. If I work with Brendan, then there's a whole psychology, a sort of a... Brendan has a need to visualise, and he's very literary and has a concept of things. The origins, he's a historian, and there are origins of the work, and he has a great understanding of the literary content that I can't explain it better than that, that is taking place with the work. Whereas when I worked with Peter, or if I worked by myself, I felt that Peter and I work in a very similar way, that we both, it's a process of elimination, where we find a piece of a part that inspires us to continue working on it, and we begin to unlock the work with various parts and building up this fabric that inevitably or ultimately becomes unfamiliar to us, because each part has unlocked the next part, has unlocked the next part, until we're faced or confronted with a piece of work that we don't feel that we've had complete control over. So I find that really exciting to work like that. Whereas with Brendan, there's more of a... I'm very much in the situation where I allow Brendan to direct. There has been conflict in the past because I haven't liked being directed. Sometimes if I can visualise something, I don't want to be directed. But definitely with that record there that I can see there, The Spirit Chaser, I allowed Brendan to very much take the lead. And if he said that he didn't like something that I was playing or doing, then I listened to that. And whereas when Peter and I were working, we basically let the piece of music decide whether that part was right or not. If after a while we'd sort of feel that's not allowing us to go further, then we'd remove that part so that we could continue growing in that fabric.
We didn't really have any rules about what we could or couldn't do. we had to be very patient with the work and give each other the space. So while one person was searching for a performance, say Felisa was searching for a vocal, I was being as supportive as I could. Sometimes that meant just being quiet for a few hours and just allowing Lisa to search for ideas, and then vice versa. So it was a very harmonious, supportive process. And very long, hard-working process. Working in that way of working from spontaneous ideas takes a long time.
Some of the things, too, we had to record before we could see the direction that they were taking, especially with the vocal parts, the many vocal parts that you have to work quickly and record, say, record five the harmonic sort of, you know, layers very quickly so that you can see what you've got there before we'd know where to go next. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So there's that, which I really loved, because there was always a it was always a possibility to take those sort of risks and go to those areas where, okay, you can't say this is the idea right here and now. There was a lot of patience from Peter's side where he'd say, well, go on, do those five parts, and then we'd decide whether it was working or not, rather than saying, well, I can't see that working, so not pursuing it. Do you understand? There was always a willingness to go into those areas that took more work and patience. And that's essential to the creative process, especially of this album, this particular piece of work.
It's interesting that you mentioned the literary context that you work within with Brendan as part of Dead Can Dance. One of the things that's always fascinated me personally about certainly Dead Can Dance, and I guess to a slightly lesser extent with your own work, is the tremendous sense of artistry in the album titles and the track titles themselves. How do you come up with those? Is that Brendan that's doing that a lot of the time, or is that
with the pieces that Brendan writes? Brendan is quite not completely, because I have named a lot of the pieces that I've done with Brendan, but there are pieces that we've worked on together that he seems to be able to encapsulate that absolute really well. Like, I think, you know, The Host of the Seraphim was one that just... I remember when he said to me, I think I have a title for that piece, you know, The Host of the Seraphim, and I said, what is the Seraphim? And he explained, and I thought, oh, that's just so perfect for that piece. You know, he really has the ability to... He's, you know, he has that literary focus.
And your own titles, I noticed Shadow Magnet, The Circulation of Shadows, that certainly two of my favourite tracks from the new album. Pilgrimage of Lost Children.
Yeah.
I certainly visualise from my own understanding of history what certainly that last one could possibly relate to. Are you able to enlighten us?
Speaking about the human race, really. But when Peter and I decided on the titles, we again very much worked together. And we talked about the inner nature of the pieces and what they represented to us, how they made us feel. And then together we sort of dug, you know, through words until we found the words that we felt, well, yes, that's an accurate description of that piece. There wasn't a need to have absolutes that were larger than life. We had a desire to be accurate to what the piece meant to us, which is, you know, where it's different, where Brendan will go for the absolute that will create the bigger picture. We were dedicated more to trying to tell the truth of how we felt, because that was very much the whole feeling of this record, was just staying true to what we could do and what we could make, and not worrying about being influenced or having to be anything in front of anyone. We just wanted to stay true and whole with the work.
Will this be something that will have live performances attached to it at some point?
We have performed the pieces live, and we do intend on performing them live at some point. We didn't have access to the amount of musicians that we need for that sort of work, but we're hoping to do some sort of a performance when we go on tour with Dead Can Dance next year.
Well,
but Peter and
that?
I have performed many times just by ourselves, doing press tour sort of performances and things, and which has been interesting too.
I'm asking from my audience perspective, who are continually asking me when Dead Can Dance or Lisa or anyone, in fact, is going to perform in Sydney.
Well, Peter and I and Brendan will come over with the rest of Dead Can Dance. I believe it's around about May next year, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Towards the middle of the year, I think, is when the tour is planned for. So we're hoping to incorporate some of the pieces from Duality into that context.
Mm. And what is the current situation with Dead Can Dance? Is there new material to emerge shortly?
But Lashner and I are going over there day after tomorrow to start working with Brendan. Lashner won't be working with him this time, but she'll definitely influence the project in her own way.
And what's in store for yourself, Peter?
Well, at the moment, Lisa and I are involved in some soundtrack work. We completed some work for a film called Nardro, which I know was shown at the Sydney Film Festival. Since then, we've become involved with Michael Mann in the production of his new film. Michael's last film was a film called Heat, where he began a relationship with Lisa using some music from the Mirrorpool. So that's just on hold for the moment. So while Lisa's working on Dead Can Dance, I'm going to take the opportunity to work on some new Soma recordings with David Thrussell.
Well, we'll look forward to all of that new material and to some new recordings as well, and I'm sure we'll be hearing them on Ultima Thule. I've been speaking with Lisa Gerard from Dead Can Dance and Peter Burke, whose new recording, Duality, is just now available locally through Shock Records. Lisa and Peter, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.